Check, check, check three. All right, if I can get you all to stand and greet each other in the name of the Lord, we'll have a time of greeting, and then we'll come back and do our birthdays and have some announcements, and it'll all be good. So let's take a few moments to greet each other in the name of the Lord. We'll come back with those birthdays. Yeah, that's okay. And you can... All right, all right. Thank you all for greeting each other in the name of the Lord. Let's begin this morning with our birthdays. Good to see each and every one of you today. And let me be the first one to wish you a very Merry Christmas. I know that's a few days off, but this is the reason for the season, and this is the time of year we're in. So birthdays, our first birthday is back there in the sound booth, Lori Page. All right, birthday today. All right, Lori. Way to go, Lori. Yeah, birthday today. And then tomorrow is Chuck Heibarger, not a member here, but visits often. Chuck Heibarger is going to have a birthday tomorrow. How old's Chuck going to be? 68, old Chuck. All right, Chuck, happy birthday to you. And then 12:23 on Thursday is Ron Wade. Brother Ron, you got a birthday coming. Where's Brother Ron? I don't see him right now, so he's got a birthday coming. And then 12:24, old Marshall Murray, going to have that birthday, Christmas Eve. Amen. All right, way to go, Brother Marshall. And then 12:25, well, that's Jesus' birthday. Amen. And where's that we celebrate? Anyway, all right. So let's sing them some happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you and many more. Amen. All right, well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. All right, it came upon the midnight clear. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing. And ever o'er its babble sounds, the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way, with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet seen of old, when they with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling. Then the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Amen. You may be seated. If we could please have our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering. Is number two on, Lori? Okay.
All right, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, just having the opportunity to gather in your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the celebration of your first advent, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for sending your Son for our sins, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of these that are here today as we celebrate. And Lord, we give thanks and honor to you, Lord. We ask, Lord, a special thank you for all the visitors that have come out today, Lord, to hear your word. Be with Brother Lee as he brings the message today, Lord. Lord, it's all about you and not about us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place that we can gather in your name, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. Be with each and every one that is traveling, Lord, that is not here today, Lord, that you keep them safe and bring them home again, Lord. And Lord, more than that, Lord, we ask, Lord, that today be the day, if there is anybody that does not have a future home with you, Lord, that this would be the day that they would announce you in their heart, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you accept this offering that we're about to receive, Lord, to be used in your honor and in your glory for your services that you give us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and brought us God's salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Amen.
Amen.
Please welcome Brother Steve to the pulpit.
All right. Well, kids, do we have any kids with us that are going to come down? A few? Oh, yeah, we got a few in the house. All right. Outstanding. Well, come on. You can do it. All right. Outstanding. Man, I got some brave newcomers here. Okay. All right, good to see you guys. All right, come on. Yeah, come on. Come on, Sarah. How are you doing? Y'all doing okay? Yeah? Sarah's got her own idea of what's going on. Okay. All right. All right, Brooke, will you come on and maybe she'll join us here in a minute? Yeah. All right, all right. Well, very good. Good to see each and every one of y'all, man. Oh, you got books for me. Okay. All right. Those are nice books. Well, I want to share with y'all this morning. What's coming up?
Christmas.
And what do we get on Christmas? Presents. All right. Well, this morning we want to talk about the best gift and the best present that the world has ever received. Okay? It's a story when Jesus was born. Everybody's got a birth story that's here, right? Yeah. So if you're here, you got a birth story. I'm here, I got a birth story. If you're here, everybody's got a birth story, right? So let's talk about Jesus' birth story. And I just want to read you about 20 verses out of the Gospel of Luke. Okay, so Luke chapter 2, verse 1, adults, if you want to follow along, the Word of God reads this. It says, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while," now this is a hard name, but I'm going to try, "while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city." Y'all know what a census is? Anybody? Anybody? That's where they count you. They count you so they can tax you. Okay? Ask your parents and grandparents about that. Explain the tax thing. Amen. "Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Everybody say Bethlehem. Bethlehem. All right. "Because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over..." What are shepherds watch over? Sheep. Sheep and animals, okay. "Watching over their flock by night." That's pretty cool. "And an angel of the Lord..." Everybody go, ready? "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened." What? "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Yeah. "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry. They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." But what did Mary do? Anybody know what Mary did? Jesus' mother? What do you think Mary did? Mary treasured, she kept, all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." What is the great significance of Jesus' birth on earth? Anybody know? Anybody know? The main purpose, the best of the best. What you got, bro? That's right. In order for Jesus to go to the cross for our sins, he had to be born. And so we get ready to celebrate on the 25th. Christmas Eve is the 24th. We get ready to celebrate on the 25th. Are you guys brothers? Y'all look alike. We get ready to celebrate on the 25th, right? The birth of Jesus. So when you're thinking about opening your gifts, y'all open your gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Christmas Day. They make you wait till Christmas Day, don't they? Yeah. When you're opening up your gifts, what you want to think about? The greatest gift of all. What's the greatest gift of all? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus? Jesus. Okay. Now, I think that you guys are going to stay in here today, okay? Because it's Christmas candlelight deal. Yay. Now, when you get a candle, are you responsible enough to hold a candle?
Yeah.
Okay, do not set anybody on fire. Okay? Keep your little light close, but not too close, right? And just I'm saying, if you're not paying attention, these pretty little hair that you got, very flammable. All right? Keep the flame away from your hair or anybody else's hair. Got it? Or your clothes, for that matter. Okay, Sarah may have to watch. All right. Very good. I think at this time I have a special guest. Would y'all like to meet my special guest today? All right, well, send my special guest in. Oh, there he is, a-coming. Yeah, the real deal. Pastor Steve delivers, man. What do y'all say, Pastor Steve? All right. Wow. Oh, my goodness. What's going on, Santa Claus?
How are y'all?
No.
You don't want nothing from Santa Claus?
I got one question for Santa. Santa, I know it's been a rough year, but did Pastor Lee finally get off the naughty list?
You did.
Hey, all right. Touchdown. I made it off the naughty list. Hey, woo, woo, man, I'm telling you.
Santa to come? Yeah. Well, y'all send him lists?
No.
You didn't send a list?
No.
Oh, you did?
We send the letter on Christmas night.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Do y'all know what Santa does the night before he heads out? Do you know what he does? He gets on his knees, and he's got a cross at the North Pole. He's got a little chapel there at the North Pole. And he gets on his knees, and he thanks God for the greatest gift of all. What's the greatest gift of all? That's right. Amen. Very good. Y'all give Santa a hand. Give him a hand. Anything else for Santa? You good?
I think they've all been good.
All right.
Tell.
Yeah, and Pastor Lee's off the naughty list, so that's all I'm talking about. What you got? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Y'all ready to pray? Y'all want to pray with Santa?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray with Santa. Here we go. Dear G, no? But I got to pray right quick. It's just part of it. No, that's real. She's good luck with her, man. I'm telling you. All right, here we go. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for our kids' time. We thank you for our special visitor, Lord, Santa Claus. And, Lord, we're thankful most of all for the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. We praise you and we love you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your parents. And I'll try to be short today. I told everybody, thank you, Santa Claus. I told everybody, and tell your wife I said hi. Amen?
Okay.
All right, Miss Claus. Yeah, give Santa Claus a hand. All right. Santa's in the house. Amen? Well, before we get going here, I told you we would have an Advent wreath. And for a lot of different traditions, they light these candles the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And then on Christmas Eve, or it may be Christmas Day, they will light the candle in the middle. The white candle represents the Christ. The four-hour candles represent attributes about Jesus. Okay, so you have hope as a purple candle, and you have love as a purple candle, and one of the pink candles is joy. Anybody remember what the other purple candle is? Ooh, you guys are good. Amen. Peace. Way to go. Right? And so, a lot of churches, not so much here in the South, but up in the North, they do this Advent wreath thing. And not so much Baptists, evangelicals, but other denominational flavors, if you get my drift, do the Advent wreath. And boy, then Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, they light the what? They light that Christ candle, right? And what this thing does, this Advent wreath, it builds a little holy expectation, amen? It builds a little, this is what's coming, amen? And this first Advent that is represented by the Advent wreath is a foreshadowing. Have you ever seen one of these? You're from up north. Yeah, amen, way to go. Is a foreshadowing of what? Jesus' second Advent. His second coming. Jesus said he was coming, right? And he came the first time. God said he was going to send him, and he sent him. And when Jesus got here and became a man, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, he said what? I'm coming what? Coming back, right? And friend, I want to tell you, Jesus is coming back. Got to be ready, amen? Amen. Got to be ready. Passage I want to read to you is in Isaiah, right? What's that passage? This is not the one you stand on. Remember that passage about Jesus, right? Anybody? Thank you, ma'am. 9, verses 6 and 7. Thank you so much. The Word of God reads, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Praise God, church. Amen. All right. Take your Bibles and turn with me now to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. John chapter 8. And we'll look at one verse here this morning. John 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Have you found it? All right, finding it, almost there. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, the Word of God reads this: "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We praise you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, the peace that you bring us, the joy that we find in you, Lord. We thank you for all of the blessings of salvation that is for us and due us, and that, Lord, keeps us for all eternity, the blessings. We thank you for a glorified body one day. We thank you for a heavenly home one day. But, Lord, we're thanking you today for your first advent, for your first arrival, coming into this world, taking on human flesh. We praise you and we worship you for that today. Thank you that you left the abode of heaven and that you came down in the midst and in the middle of us to experience what we experience, but without one thing, without sin. We're thankful for your perfect life. Thank you, Lord. Help us as we ease into, as we get closer to this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I pray that we would truly comprehend and understand it for what it was meant to convey to us. Jesus' first advent, His first coming. We praise You and we love You today. It's in Your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God. Now, God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3 that His name is I Am. Moses here at the burning bush, Moses saying, who do I say? You know, he's got to go back and talk to the people, you know, the Jewish people there in captivity in Egypt. Who do I say sent me? Who do I say, what's this all about? He says, I Am. That name, I Am, literally means I exist in the present, and I will always exist in your present time. Now, that was a big stretch for the Jewish mindset. That was a big stretch for the Jewish, how they looked at time and how they tried to relate to time and how they tried to relate to God. For the Jew, their minds perceived God as existing in eternity past, and they could get in the whole track and belief and living that God existed in eternity future, but they struggled with the fact that God exists in their immediate present. Well, friend, I want to tell you, He's immediately present here today. The God of creation, is through His Holy Spirit, is immediately present here today. From the time of that burning bush, the name I Am has been connected with God, with the God of the Bible, with the God of creation. And likewise, Jesus being the second person of the Godhead, being the second person of the Trinity, likewise, Jesus claimed to be the I Am as well. 45 times in John's Gospel. Now, of these 45 uses, there are 7 of these 45 instances where Jesus said, I am something or someone. Go through John and you can see those 7 for yourself. We're dealing with one of those 7 in this passage here this morning, and it speaks about I am the light and the life. Amen? What I want you to see, what I want you to take away, is that light and life are connected. Do you get that today? Life and light are connected. Now, go back a couple of years before the COVID and before the pandemic, and go back to our last presidential administration. And if your memory serves you correct, you remember that Donald Trump was having some discussion with this place called Korea, right? Think back a little bit to those newscasts. It was almost like every other day or every other week, North Korea is in the news. Well, friend, if you have ever seen a satellite picture of Korea at night, it tells the tale of 2 different things. The difference between South Korea and North Korea is amazing. You say, well, how so, Pastor? There's a spiritual lesson there within the difference. Some of the largest churches in the world are in South Korea. If you didn't know that now. But the darkest place spiritually, and one of the darkest places electrically in the world, is North Korea. So when you look at a satellite image of the 2 Koreas, North and South, at night, there's South and it looks like a beaming light. And then there's North and it's dim and it's dark. The darkest place spiritually and electrically is where? North Korea. Now, there's a direct connection between what? Light and life. Light and life. Let's say it together. Light and life. Amen? This morning, as we celebrate Jesus' first advent together around this advent wreath and around the fellowship of the candlelight that we're going to have at the end of the service, I want to share with you some beautiful truth about Jesus' light and life, the connection between them. So if you're taking notes, just 2 points today. Point number 1, those who possess Christ possess the light to overcome the darkness. Listen to me. those who possess Christ, point number one, possess the light to overcome the darkness. Verse 12 says, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness. In the beginning of creation, we go all the way back to Genesis, there was no light. Absolutely no light. Only chaos and darkness. The first recorded words of God in the Bible are, let there be light. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Let there be light. And when God said this, light was created. Genesis 1 begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John 1 begins with, in the beginning was the Word. You see it? You see the connection? Then we see that Jesus is the source of light and life. In those first foundational, those first theological, those first powerful verses of John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the Word of God reads, in Him was life, and the light was the light of men. And life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, three little sub-points here about the big point. Number one, we shared already with you. Number one is, His light illuminates. It illuminates the darkness. In our context, Jesus is in the midst of the city of Jerusalem. Jesus is in the midst of the temple area during what is called the Feast of Tabernacles, or it's also referred to as Sukkot, or it's also referred to as the Feast of Booths. Now, what is that, Pastor? What's going on here, the Feast of Tabernacles? This is a week-long fall festival commemorating the 40-year journey of the Israelites in the wilderness. Every evening during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews celebrated a ritual called the Temple Illumination. What in the world is a Temple Illumination? There were four tall, and friend, when I say tall, I'm talking 70 feet each. There were four 70-foot tall poles that had huge oil lamps that contained about 5 gallons of olive oil apiece. These huge lamps used the priests' worn-out clothing, their worn-out garments. They would wear these for a time, and when they became tattered, when they became worn, they would be retired. And some of these items, some of these garments, were then cut up and used for wicks during this festival. Each night, the youngest of the priests, because the old guys couldn't do it, the youngest of the priests would climb each 70-foot ladder up this 70-foot-high pole, and they would set fire to the lamps. Eyewitnesses, historians tell us that eyewitnesses reported that the light was so bright from these four torches 70 feet high in the air, about five gallons of olive oil apiece, that much of the city of Jerusalem was illuminated. You say, preacher, why do you tell us that? I tell you that because scholars tell us Jesus was by the treasury when he's saying these things. Jesus was standing below one of these huge lamps when he said what he said in verse 12. Kind of brought it home for the folk, don't you think? That big old torch, those big old four torches are burning. Those big old four torches bright. They're having their little illumination ceremony, and Jesus says what he says. Like those four giant lamps, Jesus can illuminate our lives. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, before a person comes to Christ, before they get saved, their understanding is darkened. They don't quite comprehend. But as they surrender, as an individual begins to surrender to the conviction praise God for the conviction, as they begin to surrender to the conviction that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, when they begin to take a step with their own will that I need to get saved, when they begin to make a move towards Christ as Christ is drawing them and convicting them by His Holy Spirit, He begins to illuminate their minds through their very spirit as He brings their spirit to life and the light comes on. We go through this, His light illuminates the darkness, but secondly, His light exposes the darkness in your life. His light exposes the darkness in your life. James chapter 1, verse 22 speaks about a reality of self-deception. Well, what are you talking about self-deception? Self-deception happens to us. Self-deception happens to me, or it happens to you, or it happens to others when I or you or they think that nobody knows about their secret sin. Nobody knows about what they do in the shadows. Nobody knows what they do privately. No, nobody knows. You think you've almost gotten away with it. Oh, but friend, the truth is, you can fool others. And the truth is, you can even fool yourself. But the truth is, you cannot fool God. You cannot fool Him. The light of Jesus exposes the sin in our lives. We think our deeds in darkness are hidden to everyone else, but God sees and knows, and His light shines into our hearts to reveal our sin. And I praise Him for it. I praise Him for it. You say, well, Pastor, when I deal with that, I feel so awful and I feel guilt-filled and I feel the shame. Well, friend, just confess and repent and move forward with Him. Mark chapter 4, 22 says, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. Now, to beat the drum a little bit, and I told you last week this would be Pastor Lee Light, but to beat the drum of what we're talking about a little bit, how would you react if we could put on the big screen behind me here a movie of all your words and thoughts over the past week? You said, my soul, Pastor, over the past week. Well, let me say this. Let's just take the last 48 hours. The last 48 hours, every thought, every harsh word, every lust, every secret thought of you being disgusted with another person, let's just put it in living color on the big screen behind me. And all of us in here, we get to watch your last 48 hours. My question to you is, how do you think you'd react? How do you think? First, I've got a few thoughts on this. First, I don't think you would stay around to watch. I think this place would clear out quicker because nobody knows who's going to be first. Well, I ain't watching. I'm out of here. I'm gone. And second, if you did stick around and watch the last 48 hours of your life, you would lose some of that spiritual swagger you come in here on Sunday morning with, right? You would lose a little bit of that. Now, the good news is this. We're not going to show your movie, right? We're not, but remember, there is nothing hidden from God. Number three, as we think about these subpoints, His light guides you through those dark and difficult times. I'm telling you, His light guides you through those dark and difficult times. The reason that the Jewish people lit the huge oil lamps during the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths or Sukkot was to commemorate that time that God used a fiery pillar to guide them through the wilderness. Exodus 13, 21 says, the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way and in a pillar of fire by night to guide them, to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. Whenever the pillar of cloud and fire stopped, they would stop. When it moved, they packed up and followed it. Well, preacher, I don't have my own personal pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. He has given us something even better than that. He has given us His Word to guide us. He has given us the sufficiency of His Word to help us. He's given us His very Word. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Are you getting that? But friend, it takes you. It takes you getting into. It takes you getting into God's Word every day. It takes you spending time with God in His Word every day. And it takes you asking the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to illuminate your mind, to lead and guide you. And friend, if you will do that, if you will make a habit of that, if you will spend some much-needed time doing that, you will discover that God will give you the guidance that you so desperately need. Preacher, how much time? We'll start with 5 or 10 minutes. Work up to 15. Some of you may have schedules that you can spend 30 minutes a day in the Word of God and in prayer. Do it. Do it and see how God leads you. Experience the peace. Experience the joy. Experience the love of Christ by meeting with Him. Amen, church? Number one, those who possess Christ possess the light to overcome the darkness. Number two this morning, those who possess Christ possess life to conquer death. Look at verse 12 with me again. Then Jesus again spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." You know what amazes me about all this Jesus stuff and Advent stuff and Christ coming into the world stuff? What amazes me is that when people truly understand what God has done for them, they are literally drawn to the cross. There is literally a magnetism to the cross. They might not quite understand it. They might not be ready to get saved. But there's just something about the cross. They cannot look away. They've got to look at it. Right? They've got to look at it. How amazing, when you think about this, that a Jewish rabbi would predict that he would be crucified on a cross, and as the result of that execution, he would use that as a means to draw people to himself. John 12, 32 speaks of the very thing. If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. If you know the Lord, and I hope you do, and if you love the Lord, and I pray you do, then you have experienced the miraculous magnetism of the cross. Remember those, what were they? They were really cheap toys, and it was like a bubble plastic, and it had iron filings in it, and you had like a magnet stick, and you could put it on the clear plastic, and you could move the iron filings all around, like iron filings. Did anybody ever have that toy? I had that toy, right? And your parents won't take that away from you when you crack it open because they don't want you ingesting the iron filings, right? You know, because you get it on, it smears, and then it starts to rust. Like iron filings are drawn to a magnet. The cross draws people to Jesus. And friend, next Sunday, we're going to come together around this Lord's Supper table. We're going to experience communion together if the Lord tarries and hasn't raptured His church by then. But I'm telling you, when I come to those moments in our history as a congregation, when we break bread together at the Lord's Supper table, when I come to these moments of celebrating the first Advent with God's people, I'm always emotionally moved when I focus on the effect, when I focus on the outcome, when I focus on the whole purpose of the first Advent, because I end up focusing again on the cross. The old saying goes, I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it says, in order to serve the Lord, you do not have to cross the sea. In order to serve the Lord, you only have to see the cross. You only have to see the cross. This time of year, this time of year, we need to focus on what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus was the light of the world. Jesus came into this world. He was the light of the world. But for a short period of time, when he hung there on Calvary, for a short period of time, that light was extinguished. Hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth, Jesus bearing the brunt of our sin, there was a point in time when Jesus literally became sin for us and experienced the wrath of God. The Bible says in that time there was darkness across all the land. Well, preacher, what was going on during the darkness? What's going on? Well, friend, one word, hell was going on. Hell was going on. Hell? What do you mean by hell? Hell, my friend, is not something falling out of the sky. Hell, H-E-L-L, is a real place where those who reject God's gift spend eternity in pain and utter darkness and alienation from God. For those few dark hours on the cross, Jesus was experiencing our pain. Jesus was experiencing in His body our darkness. Jesus was experiencing in His person our alienation. And once you realize that, once you truly get that Jesus became sin in order to pay your sin debt, you are then drawn to Jesus and you will find life. You will find life. Now, as we close all this down and try to make a point here, we will either die in our sin or we will die in the Lord. One of the two. We will either die in our sin or we will either die in the Lord. Now, we all realize, if you haven't realized this, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings or make you sad, but we all realize that if the Lord tarries, if He tarries from rapturing His church, I mean, everybody's rolling the dice. Man, I hope the rapture of the church is today. Hope the rapture of the church is tomorrow. But if the Lord tarries His rapture of the church and initiating those 7 years of tribulation, if the Lord tarries in that, we're all going to take a turn at death. Every single one of us. And here we are, middle age. Some of you are past that. I don't know what they call you after you're middle aged. Old? Not middle aged anymore, I'm just flat old, right? When you get closer to the end, and I've even experienced times like this myself in middle age time. But isn't it amazing how we sometimes wonder how we are going to die? Now, I mean, is it going to be by cancer, or is it going to be by car wreck, or is it going to be by some pandemic, or we're going to walk out and piano fall out of a third story building and crack us on the head? I mean, how's it going to be? Now, most of us would like to go to sleep one night in our bed and wake up in heaven. We'd like to die in our sleep. I mean, you know, let's just be honest. And some people die that way. I've officiated funerals and memorials for people that have gone on to be with the Lord that way. But besides dying in your sleep, there are many, many physical ways people die every day. But listen to me, church. Listen to me, friend. There are really only two spiritual ways a person can die. They will either die in sin or they will die in the Lord. Jesus told these religious leaders, He's talking to Pharisees again. You know, we're in Matthew's gospel going through that verse by verse, paragraph by paragraph. We've jumped over here to the Gospel of John today talking about the light and the life. But Jesus in this passage in John 8, He's dealing with these same religious leaders that we find ourselves dealing with in our series of messages on Matthew. And Jesus told these religious leaders three times in the immediate context of our passage, 8:12, that they would die in their sins. Now look at 8:21 with me. 8:21, we started out in 8:12. Look at 8:21. Then he said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Now jump down to 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Well, keen sense of the obvious. When Jesus repeats something three times in a row, when the Bible says something three times in a row, real succinctly, real quick, within a couple of verses of each other, when Jesus gets this, God's Word, or Christ gets this three times in a row thing, we should seek to understand what he was talking about, friend. It's important. He said it three times. A person dies in their sin if they do not believe that Jesus came from heaven and is the Son of God who takes away the penalty of their sin. Are you with me? Are you still with me this morning? When we talk about dying in one sin, that is really everyone that's born on the face of the earth. That is actually everyone's default condition, dying a sinner. You don't have to do anything to die as a sinner except sin. And we all know that's pretty easy to do, right? So that's the default condition. But our key verse 12, our key passage, illumines us to another way to die. You can die in the Lord. All you have to do is surrender to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and thus believe and receive the free gift of eternal life, and you will be saved. We're talking here about repentance, and we're talking here about faith. We're talking about two sides of the same coin. We're talking about how one is saved. Well, one has to repent to be saved, and one has to express faith to be saved. Well, friend, one has to repent and believe to be saved. So, I cannot, for the life of me, predict how you or I will physically die in terms of where you will be and how your last breath and heartbeat will go down. I cannot predict that, but I can predict that you will either die in your sin or you will either die in the Lord. And my prayer, and one of the key driving things in my life for some 27 years of gospel ministry, is that all the people I come in contact with will one day die in the Lord. Die in the Lord. See, Jesus said here, I am the light of the world. But he also said, Jesus also said to his followers, you are the light of the world. Amen? You may struggle with that spiritual concept. You may wonder, how could that be? But simply explain, think of Jesus as that great big sun in the sky. If Jesus is the sun, then we are the moon. The moon shines brightly at times, but we know what's on the moon. The moon is nothing more than a dead rock that rotates around the earth. So then how does the moon shine? Simple. The moon reflects the light of the sun. That's how it works. We can and we must reflect the life of Jesus to those around us. The light and the life of Jesus to those around us. Matthew 5:16. We've already preached through it in the Gospel of Matthew. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen, church? So we bow our heads, and as we close our eyes and enter into a time of invitation, the invitation is this. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we want to invite you to come. Just a few moments, we're going to have this word of prayer. Jeremiah's going to come, and I'm going to close this prayer time out. We're going to be an invitation, and that's your opportunity. That's your opportunity to step out and walk this aisle for Christ. Friend, don't leave here today going to die in your sins. You leave here today with the assurance that if you die, you die in the Lord. So I'm praying, I'm pleading, Heavenly Father, I'm pleading that no one today would leave this place lost, that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would be free to work to convict those sinners that are in need of a Savior, that they would come out, be vulnerable. They would step out, be so vulnerable, and they would walk this aisle for the glory, for the worship of Jesus Christ. And they would experience today, a few days before Christmas, they would experience for themselves the greatest gift of all. Lord, there may be others that are struggling with sin issues. Lord, they need to put some things down on the altar today. Father God, we pray that they would have the freedom to worship in that way, to walk this aisle, to get in these altars, and to confess their hearts to you. Making things right, repenting of sin, and then, Lord, beginning afresh with you. So, Lord, whatever we need to do during this time of invitation, I pray we'd be faithful, we'd be obedient, we'd be submissive. And, Lord, we would just allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We praise you this morning for what you want to do in each of our lives. And we praise you most of all for the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Stand with us as Jeremiah leads us this morning, this time.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
All right, if you'll go ahead and make your way out to the center aisle and come forward, we'll give you a candle. Now, what we encourage you to do is don't light the candle until most of the candles have been handed out, because you will be one of the first people to get your candle, and you will be on fire before everybody else gets a candle. So let's get our candles before we start lighting them up. Amen? And then when we get them, we'll light them. Everybody's candle be lit about the same time. And then you got your song ready, brother?
Yeah, Silent Night, Holy Night.
There you go. Amen. All right. And Laura, you ready on the lights back there? You ready on the lights? Okay. Make it dark. Huh? All right, brother. Peggy and Marshall, do you guys want a candle? Okay, all right. All right, we got a Santa's helper there going to take some candles back there. That's good, good. All right, you're more than welcome to stay up here at the front, or if you want to go back to your seat, you're more than welcome to do that. Yeah. You go ahead and light them now, James. Yeah, we're to the end here. It's good. All right. All right. We need to make a beeline down the center aisle to our people that are in the pews, so we're kind of all connected. So instead of being on the wings here, if you'll make a beeline down the center. Down the center. All right. She don't want a candle. Good for her. You know, I was on the naughty list for so many years because I set an alley on fire when I was about 12 or 13. That's why I was asking if I got paroled, and hallelujah, I'm off the naughty list. Amen. All right. All right, Peggy and Marshall need a light back there. I think maybe Debbie's taking a light to them. Got a light here on these pews right here. Wherever you would like, ma'am. Wherever you would like. You need to sit down, you sit down. All right. Okay. Brother Ronnie, you got a candle? You got one. Okay, you're about to light old Ronnie up. All right. All right. Amen and amen. All right, on the lights. Keep them away. Keep the flame. Oh, I'm good. Keep the flame away from your faces. Amen. We want you to reflect the light, not be in the light. All right. Very good. All right, brother. You sing for us.
Right. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
All right, Miss Lori, back with the lights. Extinguish your candles very carefully. Try not to blow the wax on your neighbor. All right, very good. Outstanding. And give yourselves a hand. Amen. The building is not on fire. All right. Hey, man, I love you guys. Have an awesome Merry Christmas. Remember, we will not have any service on Wednesday night. We will not have a service back tonight. So this is our shot for the week. We'll see you back here on the 26th, the day after Christmas. Be safe. Be careful. Remember, I give my disclaimer about driving while intoxicated. Love your friends and family enough to take keys from them. Call Ubers for them. Make a place for them to sleep it off. Don't let people drink and drive. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Jesus is the reason for the season.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand. Amen. You folks are dismissed. We'll see you next week. Lord's Supper. Merry Christmas. All right.